Would you give the Council of Trent an A, maybe an A+? Well, be careful, because maybe if you do that, you're going to contribute to the problem of grade inflation. It feels like everything's inflating nowadays, right? Price of eggs, price of bread, price of cars. Now, and grades are being inflated, which is not a good thing when people spend a bunch of money, because when something's inflated, it becomes its price more than it's worth. And when you spend a bunch of money on a degree and you go and get your grades, if your grades aren't worth anything, well, then why did you even go there in the first place? That's what we're talking about today here on the Council of Trent. Mondays and Wednesdays, we talk apologetics and theology. But on Fridays, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. And today I was reading an article by Scott Yenor. He is the Senior Director of State Coalitions for the Claremont Institute Center for the American Way of Life. He's also a professor of political science at Boise State University. And the article he published is called Solving the Grade Inflation Problem. GPA Creep is a National Scandal. It Requires a National Solution. And I think that's something, if you think about it, if you ask your parents, your grandparents about what grades they got in school, you probably find it's a lot different than it is nowadays. Now, you go back 50 years. Like, if you took a class, the idea was that, okay, like, to get an A in a class, like, oh, I got an A in calculus. I got an A in English honors. That meant you were the top 10% smartest people in that class to be able to get that A. Maybe half of you, or maybe three, only, you know, half of you got a C or above. It's like a bell curve, right? And graded on a curve, that means the people who are the bottom performers would fail usually. Or at the very least, getting a B or an A meant that you were exceptional, that the average student in the class got like a C. Because that C means average, and you got an average grade, and A's were something that were rare. But it turns out, but A's and B's are just not that rare anymore. So according to Yenner's article, read a few portions here. Grade inflation at America's universities is a national scandal. GPAs were already inflated in the 1980s. According to a 1991 study, GPAs increased from 2.38 to 2.91 between 1962 and 1985 in select departments at 8 schools. Only 13% of grades were above a B+ in 1962, right? The top 10% were the guys who got A's. You had to be real smart to get those. A number that doubled by 1985. In 2012, 42% of grades were A's. More than 50% of students routinely exceeded B+. So the area that used to be maybe the top 15% of performers, now half the classes are getting those grades. And how are they getting them? Well, because it's inflated, because you're not doing as hard of work, or the teacher's saying, oh yeah, you deserve that A, that's fine. And teachers are giving out these A's. And I think a lot of times, oh, I'll read here, it also says about the median GPA. The median grade point average for college graduates increased from 2.7 in 1987 to 3.25. So the average GPA in the 80s for a college student was a C. That means C means average. But now it's like I felt this when I was at college. Like, if you got a C, like a lot of scholarship, I remember like a lot of scholarships, a lot of athletic programs, a lot of extracurriculars. Like, you were told if your GPA drops below a 3.0, you cannot do X. You cannot get this. And that was in the early 2000s, that when I went there, a C was like, that was an embarrassing thing to have on your transcript. Like, you got a C in this class? You better retake that, or that 2.0 is really going to drag you down. And I remember actually when I went to college, oh, what was it? My final GPA, I think, was like a 2.9, because I just stopped caring. I just wanted to live life and have fun and hang out with my friends and go on adventures. And it was totally worth it. It was totally worth it. Why? Because college is kind of a scam. Why do you go to college? It's not to learn stuff. It's not to learn stuff because people will not hire you for a job. If they say, do you have a degree in X? And you say, oh, I took 39 classes for that degree and I didn't finish the last class, so I don't technically have the degree. They won't hire you. Well, does that last class make all the difference? No. Brian Kaplan has a great book, The Case Against Education, that talks about how universities are just, they're basically not accreditation scams. They just want to see, employers want to see you're willing to be obedient to authorities and you're responsible. And so you're willing to follow instructions and get a job done. They don't care about what you learn. So it's a signaling device to employers. And so the problem is, education is great for one person, but when everybody has these degrees and it's inflated, the number of degrees is inflated, you get a 4.0 on them, even though it's become transactional. It's like, I need to go to college to get a good job. College, I gave you $80,000. You give me the paper that helps me get the good job. It's quid pro quo. It's an exchange. And we all know deep down that's what it is. So teachers feel an immense amount of pressure to give students high grades so that they can get good jobs. And we know that because when schools have tried to crack down on grade inflation, they are penalized for it. So Yenner goes on to say this. Several actors have tried to solve the problem. If only one university tries to address the grade inflation crisis, its students are at a competitive disadvantage. Princeton put a cap on the number of A's that could be earned in each class. As a result, Princeton undergraduates generally had lower GPAs than undergraduates at other Ivies. This was deemed unacceptable since students were thought to be less competitive for graduate school, law school, or higher-end jobs. Princeton abandoned its experiment. Right? Because, yeah, if one school says, okay, well, it's kind of like inflation, right? You have one country that keeps their currency under control, and then you've got like the Zimbabwe dollar. It's like, I have $1 trillion in Zimbabwe. Well, that doesn't mean anything. But if you know, oh, the British pound, the American dollar, well, for now, that means something. But if you don't know, if you can't tell countries apart, and it's like, this guy's a millionaire and this guy has $100,000 or $10,000, oh, I want the millionaire. Oh, but the million Zimbabwe dollars or whatever it is, that they're worthless. We know that, but if it's just a law school university, you may not know that looking at their grades. So individual schools can't solve the problem, because if they try to take the high road, their students suffer and everybody else gets the inflated grades. He goes on to say the states can't solve it either. Even the idea of studying grade inflation at the state level puts students at a disadvantage. President Trump's HUD Secretary Scott Turner, when a freshman in the Texas House, sponsored the Honest Transcript Bill to contextualize grade inflation by requiring that the average grade for the class appear on the transcript next to a student's individual grade. Though the bill overwhelmingly passed the lower body in 2013, it died in the state Senate. The same has been proposed several times since to no avail. It makes sense that Texas would not want to go at it alone. Texas students would be at a disadvantage since the GPAs of its students would look worse given an implicit admission that Texas inflates its grades, right? You don't want to have to do that to your kids, because then they have a hard time getting into grad school jobs across the country, because you look at the transcript and see, I got an A in this class. Well, the average grade in this class is an A. Oh, it was an easy class then. But if not everybody else does it, it doesn't work. So Yenner offers a solution. And I think that I'm not a big fan of like national policies and federal solutions, but I kind of like this one, saying, all right, if you want to get federal funding for your college, you have to put on a transcript the average grade of a class along with the student's grade. And everybody's got to do it if you want funding, if you want federal funding. And that would even the playing field to combat grade inflation. I also think we've got to like have standardized tests. Like, the push to get rid of standardized tests was so dopey. Because, well, we'll look at extracurriculars, we'll look at grades. You can fake all that stuff. You get teachers that are willing to help you out and change your grades. You get people that sign you up for a million extracurriculars. You write some, you know, sob story. I wrote a sob story. It was a true story. I didn't have the easiest life growing up, but it was a sob story meant to pull heartstrings, get a scholarship to get into school. But what really shows, if you know the stuff, is you got to take a test. And people say, oh, well, standardized tests are racist. No, kids who come from schools that stink, that don't teach, you know, that where the grades are bad because the teachers are awful, they can excel from those areas. Or if people know that that school inflates grades and they're like, oh, well, that high school in the inner city, kids graduate from there, but they can't even read or write. You can't trust those grades. Yeah, but if that kid studies, applies himself and takes the SATs or the ACT, then they're able to get beyond the limitations of their local geography or their local crummy school district. So I think that standardized tests are a good way to look at this. But yeah, so that's my thoughts on grade inflation. I mean, I don't think grades should be so horribly unfair that even if you try really hard and learn the material, you're going to get a C because you're graded on the curve. I always thought a curve was kind of unfair. But I do think that we have to find a way to help teachers not feel like this is just some kind of transaction and they're being bullied into giving students A's, because this is all part of a scam anyways. So I don't know how to fix it entirely, but I do know there's ways we need to fix it, and we need to move on from that. So, but I hope this is interesting for you. The article is by Scott Yenner, Solving the Grade Inflation Problem. Definitely go check it out online if you want to read more on that. And I hope you have a very blessed weekend.